And a very good Sunday morning to everyone out there. Welcome to the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks, as we are here every Sunday going over the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and of course, the hottest headlines of the week in the world of sports and beyond, right here on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app. We got a great lineup going on here for today's show, as we'll start the way we always do, going around the MLB diamond. Biggest news for the Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, and more. And maybe dive into a little bit of All-Star Weekend, as the All-Star starters have been announced. And hopefully we will have a great All-Star game this year. New format for the Home Run Derby, as they've made some changes and some new applications to that. We'll dive into that a little bit later. We'll talk NBA free agency, as that is always one of the most hectic times of the year. You know, stars going everywhere, players, you know, going here and there. It's always a great time to really just bask in the chaos, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what that next Woj bomb or Shams bomb is going to be. And it's always just one of those times a year where you got to have the notification set on your phone for Woj and Shams, because they will drop a league-breaking story at any given moment with the way that the league has shifted up over the last few years. We'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week, just as we always do here on, well, the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. And then we'll talk a little bit about the WNBA All-Star Weekend, which is coming up later on this month, as the Team WNBA has been announced and they will take on the U.S. Women's National Team in the WNBA All-Star Game later on this month in July. No surprises, as who is headlining the Team WNBA, a couple of very, very talented rookies in the WNBA have made the All-Star team. I'm sure you can guess who those are, but in case you can't, we will dive into that towards the end of the show. But right now, we'll start things off the way we always do, talking about the MLB and what's going on with the Yankees, the Mets, and the Boston Red Sox. As the Yankees didn't necessarily have the greatest month of June. You know, we saw they were one of the best teams in the league in the month of May, only losing a handful of games, not losing a single series almost that whole entire month. And then June rolls around and, you know, they start things off a little hot, and then out of nowhere, they seem to have hit a skid. You know, losing series against the Dodgers and losing series against Boston and Baltimore and Atlanta. You get swept by the New York Mets in the Subway Series. You can't seem to figure anything out. You can't get consistent runs. Your pitching has, which has been stellar all season long, has suddenly collapsed on you. Your aces, if you will, you know, Luis Gil, Rodon, who were playing great going into the month of June, all of a sudden seem to fall off a cliff, as they've each lost the few of their last most recent starts. Gerrit Cole comes back and isn't necessarily jumping right into things, which is to be expected. You know, I mean, his first few starts are going to be practically his spring training. He's not going to be pitching Cy Young level baseball right away after coming back from injury. So over time, you know, I'm sure Gerrit Cole will get things back on track and he'll be more than okay come playoff time. Aaron Judge has been phenomenal, as he always is. He's having a historic season so far. Right now, he is on pace to play even better, finish with even better stats than he had during his MVP season in 2022, in which he hit 62 home runs. So through 87 team games, Aaron Judge in 2022 had a .282 average, 30 home runs, 65 RBIs, and a .968 on-base plus slugging. Through that same amount of games in 2024, the average has jumped up almost 40 points to .321. He's got 32 home runs, 83 RBIs, and an astounding 1.158 on-base plus slugging. Just absolutely ridiculous stats. He's named Player of the Month for the second straight month, as he has just been knocking the cover off the ball. Juan Soto is continuing to do Juan Soto things, as, you're going to get exactly what you expect out of him. He's hitting 300 on the season. He's been one of the few bright spots in the Yankees lineup outside of Aaron Judge. As you see, everyone else around them has, you know, started to cool off a bit. I mean, even Anthony Volpe, who's been in the leadoff spot almost the entire season, he hasn't been getting on base the same way that he was earlier on in the year. I mean, I want to say since the beginning of June, his on-base percentage is around a 218, somewhere around that number, you know? So that's not what you want from your leadoff man at all. You know, that's just not winning baseball. If your leadoff man can't get on, it's just, sure, he's at, you know, a 311 on-base percentage at this point in the season, due in fact to having a pretty good start to the year, but he's still hitting 257 on the year. Verdugo has cooled off quite a bit. He's not giving you the same production that he was earlier on in the year. You lose Anthony Rizzo to injury. He's out for a month or two, which I guess has led to one of the few bright spots, as they called up Ben Rice from the minors. He has been making the most out of his opportunity. He's been playing some great ball, hitting 270 just in his short sample size of games since he has been called up to the big leagues. And really, he's just enjoying the moment. You know, I remember in his debut game, he got his first base hit in his first at-bat, a liner into right field. And you see, as he's running down the first baseline, he's grinning from ear to ear just because he's having a great time and he's happy to be there. So the New York Yankees not playing the same ball that they were playing at the beginning of the year. You know, they haven't been able to beat the good teams. They've been beaten up on the bad teams, so their record is great. I mean, they got over 50 wins, but they're still second in the American League East. You know, Baltimore is right there. So if you want any chance at beating Baltimore, you gotta heat up quick, because Baltimore ain't going away anytime soon. You know, they're going to be right around that 100-110 wins at the end of the season. And if you're the Yankees, you want to be somewhere around 110-115 wins just to have a chance to compete for the division. Because while, sure, they're either way going to be one of the top two teams in the American League, whoever comes in second in the division is going to have to play in that wild card round. Whereas the winner of the division gets a first round bye, moves right on to the divisional series. And if you're the Yankees, that's your goal. Beat up on the Orioles in the division, get yourself a first round bye, and worry about whoever you end up facing. Because with the way that MLB playoffs work and the way that teams will get hot at the craziest times, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, any team can beat anybody once October rolls around and it's playoff time for Major League Baseball. So if you're the Yankees, something's got to change here, you know, whether it's going out and making a trade for a corner infielder, you know, a guy like Ryan McMahon, or if the Mets were to somehow decide to move Pete Alonso, which we'll discuss more of the Mets soon. That's probably not going to be the case, as they have been heating up recently. The Yankees got to do something, you know, trade for a reliever, trade for that corner infielder you need, because some of these guys just aren't producing. I mean, DJ LeMahieu is somewhat starting to turn a corner, but he has just been atrocious since coming back from injury. And at some point, you know, something's got to change. Because right now, the way that they're playing at this moment, you don't have ace Luis Gil out there anymore. He's starting to get beat up. Teams are starting to figure out how to hit him. Carlos Rodon is starting to give up runs like he was last year. Gerrit Cole can't be your only great player in that rotation, and Aaron Judge and Juan Soto can't be your only great hitters and expect to actually have a chance at hoisting the World Series trophy at the end of the year. So if you're the Yankees, you got to change something at some point, bring in some sort of fresh face as the deadline rolls around later this month, and just do anything at this point, because you can't just roll into the playoffs and expect to get things done. The New York Mets, however, have been had a great month of June, as they became one of the hottest teams in baseball almost immediately after Grimace the mascot threw out the first pitch Now, you know, the Mets, you see every time they're playing a game, they hit a home run, the camera pans to Grimace in the crowd going nuts. Absolutely crazy. They've been playing some great baseball. You expect them with the way that they've been playing. I mean, they've got a shot at that second or third wild card spot in the National League. So I don't expect them to be big sellers at the deadline like it was maybe anticipated with the rough start to the year. They're most likely not going to trade Pete Alonso. I don't see why you would, especially when he's one of the faces of that team. Not sure if they're going to want to give him the big contract extension that he's looking for. That's a question we'll have to wait and see. But they are one of the hotter teams in major leagues right now. So they're rolling. Boston Red Sox as well. One of the hottest teams in the league. Another team that probably, you know, you don't expect to be a seller come deadline, because they also have a chance at that third wild card spot. Real quick, the All-Star Game starters have been announced, so we'll roll over those. In the American League, starting at first base, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. from the Blue Jays, his third All-Star game. Second base, Jose Altuve. Shortstop, Gunnar Henderson, his first All-Star game. Jose Ramirez at third. Adley Rutschman at behind the plate, his first All-Star game. Yordan Alvarez, the DH, also his first. In the outfield, it's Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Stephen Kwan. As far as the National League goes, Bryce Harper, Ketel Marte, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, William Contreras, and Shohei Ohtani at DH. In the outfield, Christian Yelich, Jurickson Profar, and Fernando Tatis Jr. So the All-Star starters have been announced, as that should be a great matchup there. We'll move on to the NBA free agency coming up next, right here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat, letting you know that you can listen live well before these podcast episodes are posted. Join me live every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern time, where we can go back and forth on the hottest takes, hottest topics, and the hottest headlines across the world of sports. All you have to do, download the free 104.5 The Team app. That's 104.5 The Team. Download today for more of the Hot Seat live every Sunday morning. And we are back on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app, ESPN Radio. For this segment, we'll dive into the NBA free agency, which is always one of the most hectic times of year, really, across any sports. There's always, you know, big moves happening, stars on the move. Even if a star isn't necessarily a free agent, there's always some big trades that are going on, signing trades, this star going here and whatnot. So it's always one of the best times of year if you like chaos. And, well, I think a lot of sports fans would agree that chaos is what drives the sports world round sometimes. So we'll dive into who the winners and who the losers are of free agency so far, as we've seen a lot of moves be made, a lot of big names off the board now as they have officially decided where they will be playing the next NBA season. As we'll start with some of the biggest free agents who have decided where they're going to suit up for the next season, as we start with Paul George, who is one of the biggest names in free agency this year, one of the only former All-Stars that was on the board as an unrestricted free agent that really anybody could have gone out and got. He had meetings with the Clippers, his former team, meetings with the Sixers, the Orlando Magic. Ultimately, he would decide to sign with the Philadelphia 76ers and team up with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, which is bound to be a great lineup if they're able to stay healthy. They locked up Tyrese Maxey with an extension on 5 years. Paul George got a 4-year deal, and Joel Embiid is already locked up until after the 26-27 season, in which he's got a player option. So even then, he could be in Philly until the 2027-2028 season. And this 76ers team is going to be one that can for sure compete with the Boston Celtics at the top of that Eastern Conference. There's other teams in the mix too. You know, the Knicks made some moves, albeit they did lose Isaiah Hartenstein to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But they did go out and trade for one of the better 3-and-D wings in the league, I would say, in Mikal Bridges. Now, does this move put them up to the top? Definitely not. You know, the Celtics, who also locked up their core by extending Derek White for 4 years and Jason Tatum with a 5-year, $314 million Supermax extension. The Celtics are locked up for the next few years. The Sixers are locked up for the next few years. The Knicks, they're getting there as well. And across the entire Eastern Conference, all these teams are starting to get better, except for my Miami Heat. They went out and they signed Alec Burks to a one-year deal. That's about all they did. Pat Riley, if you're listening, could you please wake up from your nap and go out and acquire some talent? Do something. I know they're in, you know, a tough spot with cap space, but I mean, you just watched your rivals in the Boston Celtics hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. You got bounced in the first round after Jimmy gets hurt in the play-in game. At some point, something's got to give in Miami, and Pat Riley, you got to wake up, man. You got to do something. You know, some of these guys on the team, especially Bam Adebayo, is too good to not be competing for a championship. But I'll end my tangent there as we'll look at some of the other players who have made some interesting moves as we look at Klay Thompson, another former All-Star who was on the board for teams to sign. He moves to the Dallas Mavericks, where he'll be teaming up with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in Dallas, signing a three-year, 50-something million-dollar deal. He ended up leaving the Warriors after what was a great career there. You know, if you saw what Steph Curry posted on Instagram, he's obviously upset to see his Splash brother go. But it is the name of the game. The Warriors and Klay weren't able to come to an agreement on any sort of extension. They weren't able to come to any agreement on any sign-in trades. So the Warriors miss out on Klay Thompson, who could have been moved to the Clippers in a potential Paul George sign-in trade. That ended up all blowing up. Wasn't going to be the case. As soon as Paul George opted out of his player option, the possibility of a sign-in trade with the Warriors all of a sudden disappeared. As we all know, that was a team that was, you know, inked to Paul George as a potential landing spot. That isn't the case. Klay Thompson, who's 34 years old, coming off one of his rougher NBA seasons, as you know, he is getting up there in age. He will join up with a couple of stars in Dallas and a couple of young guys in PJ Washington and Derek Lively down low in the post that should make for a pretty interesting lineup. You know, the Dallas Mavericks this past season, they loved to drive and kick out to shooters on the wing and in the corners, especially Klay Thompson being one of the best three-point shooters of all time. That's going to be an interesting lineup that they're going to run. You wonder, though, if the defense will be able to hold up. I mean, Klay's getting up there in age. He was a great 3-and-D player throughout his career, but 34 years old, coming off a few years back, tearing his ACL in the playoffs. Injuries have been an issue. You wonder if Klay's going to be able to provide that defensive setting that they need. You know, you're not going to get star level defense from Luka or Kyrie. They can defend when, you know, when they choose to. They're great again in passing lanes and poking the ball loose, but at the end of the day, there's bigger guards out there in the league than Kyrie, so he might get bullied, you know, based off his size every now and again. Luka, sometimes it seems that the game plan for the Mavericks is to let Luka, you know, let his man drive past, and then the defense will kind of collapse on the ball handler and Luka will stay out towards the perimeter. But at the end of the day, they don't have the defensive identity that I think you need to win at this stage in the NBA. I mean, you look at the Boston Celtics, for example. They had a team where no matter who was matched up with who, 1 through 5, they could all defend, you know, from Drew Holiday to Kristaps, who albeit might be a little slow to guard, you know, some smaller players in the league, he still held his own. So you had a lineup in Boston where every single player could guard 1 through 5 almost, and you saw how it paid dividends for them come playoff time. They absolutely demolished some of the teams in their path because they were near impossible to score on. Now, Dallas, they were able to get hot at just around the right time. They were able to take down the likes of the Clippers and the Timberwolves. But, you know, with the lineup that they're running, I don't see how this group makes it back to the finals anytime soon, especially when teams are only getting better out west as well. You know, the Nuggets will be back with a vengeance. The Timberwolves are thinking that it's going to be their time soon. And these are some pretty good defensive teams. The Mavericks, on the other hand, they have a lot of star power. Luka is, you know, by far one of the best players in the league. I'd consider him top three in the whole entire world in the sport of basketball. But they don't have the defensive identity that you really need to succeed at that playoff level. So we'll see what happens with the Dallas Mavericks as Klay Thompson moves on from Golden State to Dallas. Some of the other stars around the league who re-signed with their teams, as I mentioned, Tyrese Maxey earlier got the 5-year extension. Pascal Siakam, who the Indiana Pacers just traded for this year before making the Eastern Conference Finals, they re-signed him on a 4-year deal. So they lock up him. They still have Tyrese Haliburton, Miles Turner. The Indiana Pacers aren't going away anytime soon. You know, not a lot of people, myself included, might not have expected them to make the Eastern Conference Finals this early on in this core's being. But, you know, they made it, albeit they did face an injury-ridden Milwaukee Bucks team who was missing Dame and Giannis, and then Jalen Brunson hurts his ankle in the semis. But not for nothing, this Indiana Pacers team does have some star power. And if they can put it together, you know, they're definitely a team that you don't necessarily want to match up with. So Siakam sticking in Indiana, that's obviously good for them, as he was one of the better players on that roster, making that Eastern Conference Finals run. DeMar DeRozan, one name who is still out there, the veteran, 15-year veteran, I should say, coming off a year with the Bulls where he averaged 24 points, four rebounds, and 5 assists per game. But he's one of those guys that's getting up there in age. He doesn't space the floor very well, can't knock down the 3-ball as consistent as some other free agents out there. Possibly a reason why he hasn't been picked up by any teams. We've seen the Lakers and the Miami Heat being interested in him. LeBron James mentioned that he might be one of those players that he would consider taking a pay cut for. That was not the case, as LeBron James would agree to a 2-year max contract with the Lakers. Still the possibility of taking a million or so pay cut. I know it's crazy. He's really missing out losing that extra $1 million on top of his hundreds of millions that he's got. But he does still have the option to take a million or so pay cut to get the Lakers underneath that threshold, so they're avoiding the luxury tax. The LA Lakers looking to run it back, but outside of LeBron and, you know, obviously drafting Dalton Connect and LeBron's son Bronny in the draft, haven't made too many moves. So the Lakers, another team that you never know. If they're healthy, they might make a run in the playoffs, but LeBron is running out of time. You know, he's 39 right now, going to be 40 soon. At some point, they got to get some more talent around him. Moving on to some of the other players around the league who have made some re-signing moves, as Emmanuel Quickley re-signs with the Raptors on a 5-year deal. Tobias Harris decides to leave Philly after they kind of replace him with Paul George. He's moving on to the Detroit Pistons, as I'm not really sure what his goal is there. If he must just be going for the money, because, you know, Detroit is definitely not winning anytime soon. James Harden returns to the Clippers on a 2-year deal, as he will still be there with Kawhi. And I tell you what, after losing Paul George and not really doing much else, they definitely needed that. OG Anunoby, speaking of the Knicks, he will re-sign there. So now alongside Mikal Bridges, you have another great 3-and-D player in OG Anunoby to play alongside the likes of Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, plenty of other talent to go around in New York as they look to make the jump to the next step. So I'll let you know some winners, some losers. Oklahoma City Thunder, as I mentioned, went out and signed Isaiah Hartenstein. They also made a trade for Alex Caruso, giving up Josh Giddey in that. So the Oklahoma City Thunder have improved their roster quite a bit, and with already a very young team with Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Oklahoma City Thunder going to be another team out west that you're not going to want to face come playoff time. Philadelphia 76ers, as we mentioned, they're obviously a winner, being able to use the cap space to form really the league's newest big three in PG, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey. Losers, I'd say Golden State for just letting Klay walk. LA Lakers haven't really done much. And that's the free agency recap here on the Hot Seat. Coming up next, we will go over the hottest headlines of the week, as we do every Sunday. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat. To stay up to date with when episodes are going to be posted or airing live every Sunday morning at 11, be sure to check out at VFreds Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's VFREDDS Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we'll have clips, updates, and more for you. Up next, more of the Hot Seat. Welcome back to the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app, ESPN Radio, as we will dive into the hottest headlines of the week here, as we do around this time every Sunday morning from 11 until noon. In case you missed some of the previous segments, you can always check those out, or if you missed any previous broadcasts, we always save them and upload them as podcast episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. The links to those are in the bios of my socials on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you get your social media from. Be sure to go and follow VFreds Media, VFREDDS Media, and the links to the podcast episodes will be in my bios so you can listen to old episodes, catch up in case you missed them live, as we will always upload those right after they go live every Sunday morning. Let's dive into some of these hottest headlines of the week here, as we'll start with a little bit of basketball news, as former All-Star Kemba Walker has decided he is ending his playing career, choosing to retire. And not only is he retiring from playing, he is sticking with the sport with one of the teams he played for most of his career with, the Charlotte Hornets, as he announced he's going to be joining the Charlotte Hornets coaching staff as a player enhancement coach. Walker was a three-time All-Star during his 8 years with the Hornets franchise, and he is still the team's all-time leader in points with 12,009 points as a member of the Charlotte Hornets. 34-year-old announced his retirement this past Tuesday, ending a career that included some stints with the Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, and Dallas Mavericks. He played a little bit his last season in the French League Championship as he won the French League Championship with AS Monaco. Walker joined then they were called the Charlotte Bobcats back in 2011 as the number 9 overall pick after leaving UConn, as while he was in UConn had one of the greatest game winners in NCAA basketball history. Cardiac Kemba was the nickname they gave him after his game winner in March Madness, as he will move on to the next step in his career, where he will be, as I mentioned, a player enhancement coach for the Charlotte Hornets. And, you know, if you watch basketball, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, not one of the best teams out there. So hopefully he'll be able to make a little bit of change as the Charlotte Hornets look to improve year after year. You know, they have some great young players in LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, just haven't seemed to be able to get things done and get over to the next step of making the playoffs. So congrats to Kemba Walker, and we will see what he does as a member of the Charlotte Hornets coaching staff. Some more basketball news. Jonte Porter, brother of Michael Porter Jr., who was suspended by the league months back for some gambling issues, is actually going to be charged with a federal felony connected to the sports betting scandal that spurred the NBA to ban him indefinitely. So Jonte Porter, who, you know, lost his contract with the NBA after being found making plenty of bets, federal prosecutors in Brooklyn filed what is known as a criminal information sheet this past Tuesday. Doesn't specify a court date or the charge or charges, but it does show that the case is related to an existing prosecution of four men charged with scheming to cash in on tips from a player about his plans to exit two games early. Porter's lawyer, Jeff Jensen, said that last month, Porter had been in over his head due to a gambling addiction and was getting treatment and cooperating with law enforcement. So this story just seems to keep on giving, doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon, as we will keep you up to date with what happens with Jonte Porter as this whole scandal is just getting underway, it seems. As for some baseball news, the Home Run Derby and All-Star Weekend is coming up later this month, and the Home Run Derby is introducing some new rules as they try to reduce the frantic pace that the Home Run Derby was played with in the past. So some of these changes include, within each player's timed round, the hitter will see a maximum of 40 pitches, kind of similar to how in the NBA three-point contest you get a maximum number of shots, and this will place a greater premium on efficiency between the batting practice pitchers and the hitters. Since the Derby has moved to a timed format back in 2015, the rounds of swings have often shifted into a race of the hitter and pitcher trying to get through as many swings as possible. In just last year's Derby, all of the participants averaged more than 43 swings per round. Some of them have spoken about how exhausting the event has become and have privately spoken about how it could give them a heightened risk of injury. That's why we've seen a lot of players who will do the home run derby once or twice, maybe win it once or twice, and then decide that it's not for them anymore. This is just another reason that they're making these changes, because obviously the home run derby is at its best when the best hitters in baseball are taking place in it. That hasn't been the case the last few years. Some great hitters will go out there and perform, but there's some, you know, all-stars in the league that have come out and said that they're not going to be doing the home run derby anymore for a number of reasons. So far, the only player who has confirmed that he is going to be participating in the home run derby is Baltimore Orioles' Gunnar Henderson, who's also set to potentially make his first all-star game this season, as he has been having an MVP caliber year with Baltimore. Some of the changes that are coming along with the home run derby this year is that there will also be bonus time for each hitter is no longer going to be clocked. Instead, should a hitter make the bonus round, they will continue to hit until they've made three outs. So this obviously making more of an impact on the swings that they get and actually getting the ball out of the ballpark and not just focusing on getting as many swings as possible in that extra time that they in the past would be allotted. So the home run derby switching things up, as hopefully we will see more stars in the future if these changes, you know, are successful. Hopefully we'll see more stars in the future derbies start to participate again, and we'll hopefully see a more entertaining All-Star Weekend, as it seems across all sports, All-Star Weekend has started to lose its aura, if you will. You know, in football, the Pro Bowl hasn't been the same in a number of years, obviously trying to implement more players being safe, and which is always a great thing. Basketball, slam dunk contest, three-point contest hasn't been perceived as well as it used to. You know, the dunk contest used to be one of the most entertaining sporting events of the year, and now you got G Leaguers performing in it, which, you know, is not a knock on them. You know, there's some phenomenal dunkers out there that aren't necessarily NBA players, but at the end of the day, it's an NBA contest, and you know, you expect to have some of the best NBA players performing in it. So maybe this change to the home run derby will result in more, you know, more changes across all-star sports, sporting events, and hopefully we will see some more stars taking place in those. In some football news, it has been noted by a jury in the U.S. District Court that has ordered the NFL to pay more than $4.7 billion in damages after ruling that the league violated antitrust laws in distributing out-of-market Sunday afternoon games on a premium subscription service. This all coming from their Sunday ticket that they would offer specifically on DirecTV. The jury awarded $4.7 billion in damages to the residential class and $96 million in damages to the commercial class. Since damages can be tripled under federal antitrust laws, the NFL could end up being liable for $14.39 billion. That is billion with a B, not million, billion, which is an absolutely absurd amount of money. The lawsuit covered 2.4 million residential subscribers and 48,000 businesses in the United States who paid for the package of out-of-market games from 2011 through 2022 on DirecTV. The lawsuit claimed the league broke antitrust laws by selling its package of Sunday games at an inflated price. The subscribers also say the league restricted competition by offering Sunday ticket only on a satellite provider. The NFL said in a statement that it will appeal the verdict and, you know, eventually try and obviously not pay $14 billion to whoever it'll go to. Just a ridiculous amount of money should they be found liable for that. I don't know how they could ever afford that, but hey, there's people that get paid more than me that I'm sure have to worry about that. I'm sure we'll have more news coming on that in the upcoming months, but you know, Roger Goodell has to be having a headache over this news breaking, because that is just the last thing you want to see if you're running a million, maybe actually billion, I should say, dollar business. Moving on to some more football news. Former 49ers safety Tashawn Gibson has been suspended 6 games. Free agent safety Tashawn Gibson, who spent the last 2 seasons with the San Francisco 49ers, has been suspended 6 games by the NFL. The penalty is for a violation of the league's performance-enhancing substances policy. It's almost like these players will never learn. You know, year after year, players get suspended for taking PEDs and other types of steroids and whatnot. And yet, they still, some of them out there, try to do the same thing and expect that they won't get caught. You know, like, you're going to get caught. You've seen it time and time again. The amount of players who have been caught doing stuff like this and then get fined or suspended is constantly growing. And for a guy like Tashawn Gibson, who is currently a free agent, this is one of the last things that you can have happen to you, you know, because he's trying to make a roster. He's trying to convince teams that they should give him a shot and sign him. And realistically, not many teams are going to want to sign a guy who's going to miss the first 6 games of the season. As Tashawn Gibson did have, you know, a good couple years in San Francisco, he kind of revitalized his career. He made, you know, 5 of his 14 postseason tackles were in the Super Bowl against Kansas City, but this news is one that might derail his case to get signed by a new team. You know, this is something that might possibly end his career if he can't find a team that's willing to take that on. So we'll see what happens with Tashawn Gibson and more of the NFL. Moving on to the next segment, we will talk a little bit about the WNBA as their All-Stars have officially been announced. More of the Hot Seat coming up next. Benny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here, not to promote anything or sell anything to you, but simply to say thank you to all the listeners out there. Your support is very much appreciated. And here at the Hot Seat, we will do our best to continue providing you with the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports on a weekly basis. Thank you again for listening. It's much appreciated. And we've got more of the Hot Seat coming up for you right after this. And we are back here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the Capital Region's home for New York sports and more, as All-Star Weekend starting to creep up around the corner in the WNBA. Is anyone surprised that Caitlin Clark has been named an All-Star in her first season? Because I'm not. I'm not surprised at all. Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever and Angel Reese of the Chicago Sky, the only 2 rookies to make the All-Star team this year, as they will headline a 12-player team WNBA that is set to face off against the U.S. Women's National Team in Phoenix on July 20th in the 2024 WNBA All-Star Game. Clark and Reese, who were picked number 1 and number 7 respectively in the 2024 draft, are also the only first-time All-Stars of the group, as it's going to be interesting to see these two, who have had a bit of a rivalry, some would say, dating all the way back to their playing days at Iowa and LSU. Even so far in the WNBA, their matchups have been a little chippy here and there. We will see them playing as teammates for the first time at All-Star Weekend for the Team WNBA. As both players have been having a phenomenal rookie season so far, Caitlin Clark leading the Indiana Fever, along with all other former number one pick Aaliyah Boston, Angel Reese, who has set a WNBA record for straight double-doubles. They have each been playing great so far, and they are headlining the All-Star Game along with these other players, such as 9-time All-Star Nneka Ogumike, 6-time All-Star Dawana Bonner, Aaliyah Boston, as I mentioned, Caitlin Clark's teammate in Indiana, and Kelsey Mitchell. As Indiana has 3 players that were selected for the All-Star Game, the only team with 3 All-Stars. And they are rounded out by Connecticut Sun's Brianna Jones, the Atlanta Dream's Alicia Gray, the LA Sparks' Derica Hamby, New York Liberty's Jonquel Jones, Minnesota Lynx's Kayla McBride, and the Dallas Wings' Arike Ogunbowale. I definitely did not pronounce that right, but hey, I did my best. As they will end up facing the Team USA, which was announced not long ago. That Team USA is headlined by a slew of multiple-time All-Stars, some of the best players in the league. So it'll be interesting to see how this matchup goes, as they are headlined by Nafisa Collier, Kalia Cooper, Chelsea Gray, Brittany Griner, Sabrina Ionescu, Jewel Lloyd, Kelsey Plum, Brianna Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Alyssa Thomas, Aja Wilson, and Jackie Young. As I mentioned, all multiple-time All-Stars, some of which who have a lot of experience in the league, as Diana Taurasi going on 19 seasons in the WNBA. She's an 11-time All-Star. Brittany Griner, 10 years in the league. She's a 10-time All-Star. Alyssa Thomas, 10 years in the league, a 5-time All-Star. And many of these players are headliners for, you know, the MVP race and other awards. Aja Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces, one of the best players across the WNBA. Kelsey Plum, her teammate. Brianna Stewart for the New York Liberty, another one of those players who is maybe in that race for the MVP this year. Kalia Cooper, Nafisa Collier. A lot of these players are having standout seasons, as you know, we've seen a lot of interest in the WNBA, as the amount of viewership and really just the amount of, you know, eyes on the WNBA has increased dramatically with this stellar rookie class that has come into the league with Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, who is, you know, unfortunately done for the season with a torn ACL, Camila Cardoso, Angel Reese, Rekia Jackson. This is going to go down as one of those draft classes that shapes the future of the league. You know, one of those in comparison to the 2003 NBA draft class with LeBron, Wade, Melo, Bosh. This WNBA season is set out to be a historic one, it's looking like. And as we're mentioning, a lot of these All-Stars and the potential awards they might be winning, we'll take a look at right now as we're approaching the halfway point in the season. Who's the front runner for all these awards? Who the potential challengers are? And we'll start with the most coveted award of them all, MVP. As I mentioned, Aja Wilson, who is by far one of the best players in the WNBA. She's by far the front runner right now, a 2-time MVP already. She's on pace to become the second player to average more than 25 points per game in a season, as Diana Taurasi averaged a league record 25.3 back in 2006. Wilson's currently averaging 27 points on 51% shooting and is the third player to average 20-plus points and 10-plus rebounds. Some of her challengers, however, Nafisa Collier of the Minnesota Lynx, Brianna Stewart of the New York Liberty, and Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun, all having stellar seasons that at any moment could steal that MVP trophy away from Aja Wilson. But the one award that I think a lot of people are going to be having discussion about, because it's going to be one of the tightest races, I think, in WNBA history, Rookie of the Year. As I mentioned, this historic rookie class coming in, obviously right now the front runner, Caitlin Clark, but Angel Reese is right up there with her as the top challenger. As I mentioned, she's already had more consecutive double-doubles than anyone in WNBA history at 11, and is a strong challenger to Clark, as the number 7 overall pick is averaging 13 points and leads the league in rebounding around 11, close to 12 boards a game. Moving on to Coach of the Year, right now front-runner Cheryl Reeve of the Minnesota Lynx, who have been one of the best teams in the league. Some of the challengers include Noel Quinn of the Seattle Storm, Sandy Brondello of the New York Liberty, as the Liberty with a two-headed monster, and Sabrina Ionescu and Brianna Stewart are a team that you don't want to mess with. Frontrunner for Defensive Player of the Year right now is Nafisa Collier. Some challengers for her, Aja Wilson, Alyssa Thomas, and Ezzy Mugbegger. As, again, probably not pronouncing that name correctly, but those are some of the players out there that might be contending for that DPOY trophy. As that'll wrap things up here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. We'll be back at it next week with more of the hottest headlines and the hottest topics for you, as we are here every Sunday morning from 11 until noon on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.